The local police are members of the FLDS and the men that Merrill would rely on to stop my escape. The community also had a watch patrol that drove around during the night. If anyone saw me, I'd be stopped and asked if my husband knew what I was doing. After about 2 miles, my engine began to sputter. I was almost out of gas. The kids knew something was wrong and were getting scared. I could see Canaan Corners in the distance. My heart was racing. I couldn't breathe. When it felt like the van was about to die, I pulled over to the side. I told the children we were out of gas, but I saw people up ahead who might be able to help us. I left the van and ran ahead to where Arthur and Daryl were waiting. I threw my arms around them, but there was no time for excitement or relief. I told my brother that my kids didn't know anything yet, nor could we tell them. The truth would be overwhelming. When we got to the van, I told the children that we were getting a ride to get more gas. 5 hours later, we arrived in Salt Lake City and went into hiding. For the first time in 35 years, I was free. I had 8 children and $20 to my name. Within hours, Merrill was hunting me down like prey. I was born in the bitter cold, but into warm and loving hands. Aunt Lydia Jessup was the midwife who brought me into the world on January 1, 1968, just 2 hours after midnight. I came into the world as a feisty 7-pound baby, my mother's second daughter. My father said she could name me Carolyn or Annette. She looked up both names and decided to call me Carolyn because it meant wisdom. My mother always said that even as a baby, I looked extremely wise to her. I was born into 6 generations of polygamy on my mother's side and started life in Hilldale, Utah, in a fundamentalist Mormon community known as the FLDS, or the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Polygamy was the issue that defined us and the reason we'd split from the mainstream Mormon church. My childhood memories really begin in Salt Lake City. We moved there when I was about 5. Even though my parents believed in polygamy, my father had only one wife. He owned a small real estate business that was doing well and decided it made sense to use Salt Lake as a base. We had a lovely house with a porch swing and a landscaped yard and trees. This was a big change from the tiny house in Colorado City with dirt and weeds in the yard and a father who was rarely home. But the biggest difference in moving to Salt Lake City was that my mother, Neuralon, was happy. She loved the city and delighted in having my father home every night after work. My dad was doing well, and Mom had enough money to buy plenty of groceries when we went to the store, and even had some extra for toys. There were soon 4 of us. I had 2 sisters, Linda and Annette. I was in the middle. Linda was 18 months older than I, and Annette 2 years younger. My baby brother Arthur arrived a few years after Annette. My mother was thrilled to finally have a son, because in our culture, boys have more value than girls. Linda and my mother were very close, but my mother always seemed very irritated by me, in part, I think, because I was my father's favorite. I adored my dad, Arthur Blackmore. He was tall and thin, with large bones and dark, wavy hair. I saw him as my personal protector and felt safe when I was in his presence. We only lived in Salt Lake City for a year, but it was a happy one. My father's business was successful and expanding, but he decided we needed to move back to Colorado City, Arizona, a tiny, nondescript FLDS enclave about 350 miles south of Salt Lake City. The reason we went back was that he didn't want my sister Linda attending a regular public school. When we returned to Colorado City, my father put an addition onto our house. There was more space to live in, but life became more claustrophobic. Mother changed. When we got up in the morning, she would still be sleeping. My father was on the road a lot now, so she was home alone. When we tried to wake her up, she'd tell us to go back to bed. She'd finally surface mid-morning and come into the kitchen to make us breakfast and talk about how much she wanted to die.